I want to take just a moment this morning to divert from our series that we've been in the book of Acts, and we'll return to that shortly. But because it's so close to the new year, I want to look at the idea of being at a crossroads, at a decision point in life. I don't know what it is about the new year, but people seem to have the sense that something is changing and that it's time to make corrections at the new year. I think it has something to do with the sense that time is going by. It's going by quickly. Just when you got used to writing 2018 on your checks and on your papers, then it's already 2019. My son the other day, he's 12, and we were talking about when he'll be driving, and he said, well, I'm 13, almost 13, he said, and so 3 years from now, he said, well, Dad, I could really be driving by 2021. And I laughed out loud because that sounded like the future to me. You know, if you've been around for a while, 2021, that sounds like out there. Okay, that's a Star Trek stuff. I mean, it's out in the distance. And then he looked at me funny, like, why are you laughing? I realized that's less than 3 years from now, 2021. We're in a cycle of things, and the world is going around, and our lives are happening fast, and we're carried along just kind of by the flow of responsibility and busyness, and the baby new year that was born in New York, I guess, in Times Square last year. That little diaper baby with the top hat has made its cycle around the calendar, and it is an old bearded man about to be laid in the dust, okay? It's happening fast. And so when we come to the New Year's, we realize this, and we think, you know what? I'm still as fat as I was last year at this time. You're lucky if you're still as fat, or I'm still as poor, or I'm still where I was spiritually. You know, last year at this time, I thought, man, this year's going to be packed with meaning, purpose. I'm going to get in God's Word. I'm going to learn the truth. I'm going to grow. I'm going to lead my family. And you realize that the new year, well, listen, I need to resolve. I need to be resolute about doing something different. What happens when we're standing at the crossroads? The Bible addresses this in the book of Jeremiah. This is an Old Testament book, and you can grab your Bible and begin turning there. Take as long as you need. It's one of those more obscure books of the Bible. It's written according to the words of a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet, often called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet because no one would listen to the words of God that came through him. The words of God that came through him were often words of warning to say, if you do this, if you will repent, if you will turn, then I will bless you. But if you do not, then there is judgment and hardship awaiting you. And over again, the people of Israel, God's people, would choose the hardship. Even though they had words of warning and of care, they would choose another way. This weeping prophet Jeremiah is speaking to God's people in Jeremiah chapter 6, and he's telling them a little bit about God's awareness of where they are. And he's telling them, listen, you've got a chance. You're at the crossroads here. God has seen, and he's given you warning. He's given you love, and you've turned away from him again and again. But one more time, God is saying, please turn to me. I love you, and I have loved you. He said, here's what will happen if you will. Here's what will happen if you won't. So let's read together. Jeremiah chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 13, and then we're going to move to chapter 7, and I'll tell you when we do that, and the words will also be on the screen. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Well, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not there. That's my fault. I can't take as long as I want. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. If I say it enough times, maybe my Bible will go there magically. Okay, here we are. Here's what that God has to say through the prophet Jeremiah to his people. From the least To the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. So it's not just the people, it's the leaders of the people. They're greedy for gain. They're dealing falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly. Take note of these words, and they'll become clear, I hope, later, but just take note of their power. The prophets and the priests, they have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths. If you're reading the NIV or another version, it'll say, stand at the crossroads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Now we're going to move to chapter 7. We'll read verses 3 and 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. What can we do when we're at a crossroads? I hope this will be a simple sermon. I hope that this will be fast and something you can put in your pocket and easy to contemplate after you leave here. But let's look at four options. What are the four choices we have when we're standing at a crossroads spiritually? The first is this. When you're at a crossroad, stop to consider the road that you're on. The Bible is very clear here. It says, stand at the crossroads and look. But the word stand is no accidental word. It's a very deliberate word, and it means to stand still. It means to stop and to cease what you're doing. In another setting, it means to plant yourself. And you get the image here of God's people just going along as they would, and God says, you need to pause. You need to stop to plant your feet and take a moment to cease what you are doing and look at the road that you're on. He wants them to stand at the crossroad and to take a look, to not get caught up in so much of the busyness and so much of what is dragging them down, but to take a moment to see what is happening. You know, so many times we're so busy and we're going so quickly that there's just not time. Well, we don't take the time to stop and to consider where we are spiritually. I have a minivan that is an old one. It's a 2000 Chevrolet minivan, and I love it a lot, but it's old. And I had it one day and had an important meeting I was trying to get to, and I got in that minivan from the office and jumped in it and threw it into drive, and I heard a noise under the hood, and then I heard a noise inside the cab, a dinging noise. You know what I mean? If you hear a dinging noise, sometimes that's okay. If you hear a noise under the hood, sometimes that's okay. If you hear them both, it's rarely okay. And so I got in the car, and I heard that, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what's happening? But I had to be at the meeting, so I jammed it into drive and took off down the road and was meeting with someone who I really respect and is another pastor in our town and somebody I had grown to seek advice from, and was meeting at his office, and his church was much bigger than mine. And so you're there, and I parked my minivan, my old minivan there at the front, and went in and met with him, and somebody came in the door and knocked on the office door while we were meeting and said, hey, do you drive that gold minivan in the parking lot? Well, I wanted to say no. You know, it's not an impressive machine, but I said, yes, I do. She said, well, there's a lot of smoke coming out from under it, you know. And so I went out there and smoke, sure enough, it wasn't smoke, it was steam, but it was just billowing out from under the hood of this thing. It had a radiator issue of some kind. And so there I stood with this man I respect, and we're looking out there, and just an embarrassment, you know, just to stand there and say, that's my car, you know. That's your parking lot. And But we've got to take time sometimes to stop and to look and to say, hey, what road am I on? What are the warning signals that are coming to me here, spiritually speaking, about what I've grown comfortable with, where I've grown at ease directing my life? What are the sins that I've said, okay, I can live with that? What are the failures that I've said, listen, that was my goal, that's what God's best for me is, but really, I'm not interested in hitting that anymore. I'm not interested in getting where God's leading anymore. Where have you grown comfortable? There are warning sounds coming at us. You've got to stop sometimes and say, Lord, let me see, show me where I'm at here. Here's one way we can do that, practically speaking. If you decide that you want to stop, to plant yourself, to cease what you're doing, and to evaluate yourself spiritually, here's how you begin doing that. The first is this, very practical. We all need to have a regular, personal time of devotion. And when I say devotion, that's a flowery way of saying we have got to speak to the Lord. We've got to pray to God personally. There's no formula to it. It doesn't have to match another person's prayer. But we have to have that time of praying with God, of hearing from Him and speaking to Him, letting Him hear us. If we say something wrong, He's okay. He knows how to interpret our hearts if we don't get our prayer just right like we would like it. We've got to read the Bible. We have got to read God's Word. We do it here in church, but we've got to do it on our own, personally and regularly. You say, I don't understand the Bible. Well, I don't either. But you know, I've grown to understand more of it by doing this, by reading God's Word and letting His Spirit speak to me. He won't speak to us through the Word if we're not reading the Word. I encourage you to do that, a regular personal time of devotion. And I want you to know, take courage this morning, because this is hard for me to do. It's hard to set time aside for this. There's been times in my life when I've had to stop on the way home from work, pull in a business parking lot, and spend 30 minutes in God's Word there and in prayer because my day was so busy. There's been periods of time in a certain parking lot where every day I would pull in on the way home because it's important to do these things. Sometimes it's hard to pray to God. In those times, I carry a Baptist hymnal with me. It doesn't have to be a Baptist hymnal. You could carry anything, but I carry a hymnal with me. There's times I just sing to the Lord. By myself, you know, you may praise God for that, but by myself, I find it hard to express myself to God. If you're a human being, you're going to have times where you find it hard to express yourself to God. I can pull out that hymnal and I just sing a hymn to God. There's times that I can't pray right. I just can't seem to get in. And I've got a book, a lined notebook that sometimes I just write out my prayer. You can call it a journal if you want to. If that makes you feel silly, just call it a notebook. But I carry one with me, and there's times that, listen, and I've walked with the Lord for a long time, but there are times that I just think, God, I can't get the words out. Or, God, I'm too mad at you right now. I just am too mad to pray in my normal way. God, I don't understand what you're doing. And it frustrates me. I begin writing, or I begin singing. Do something, okay? Do something. If you want to stop and consider the road you're on, then you've got to have a regular personal time of devotion with God. Or in 2020, you're going to be just as fat as you were in 2019, just as spiritually empty, just as lacking victory as you were this year. There are some other spiritual disciplines you can practice. Fasting is one. I think fasting is commendable if done the right way. I fasted from air conditioning once in my car. I've fasted from different things, but God kind of honors that, rewards that. It's a way to signify something to him. Bible study, accountability, getting with a group of people, being in church, all of these things. If you want to stop and consider where you're at, these are the starting places for that. And so I ask you this morning, what road are you on today? What road is it you're on? You say, Matthew, I haven't had time to stop and even think about that. Well, then that's why the Bible says stop. Stop and plant your feet and look and see where it is you're at. But also when you're at a crossroads, I want you to ask the Lord to show you the right way. That's what the next instruction here is. It says to ask for the ancient path, what the good way is. Ask the Lord for the right way. And this path is ancient. It's one that should have been familiar to them. These are the covenants, the well-known covenants to them of Abraham, of Moses, and of David. They are anciently attested to these people. They're not unfamiliar to them. They're in their history. They're in their lineage. But notice here, when they come to the crossroads, they cannot recognize which paths are the right paths. Why not? These are the old time-tested paths of their history. Why can they not recognize it? Well, they've grown unfamiliar with them. They don't see them anymore. They haven't paid attention to them. But look what God says for them to do. He says, if you will come and stand and look, you can ask me, and I will show you the ancient paths. I will show you the right way for you to walk in. I took my kids a few years ago to my old house that when I grew up in. Anybody remember the address of your first house as a kid? I remember mine, 507 Donaldson Road. First phone number, anybody? 698-7684, right? Just up until I was a little boy, we moved out of there when I was young, but that is just etched in my mind. And we happened to be near there, and I wanted to take the kids and just show them my old house, and I have told them some stories about it. And we went there and drove up the driveway, and things seemed a little unfamiliar, if you know what I mean. You know, the way I had pictured it in my mind was not the way it actually was. And there used to be a garage there. It was gone, and the alley was a lot more narrow than I remembered. The yard was so much tinier than I remembered it. And so I went to the back porch and the back patio, and we used to have an old Kmart swimming pool, plastic one. I said, kids, this is where we played, but it didn't look the same. That's where the swing set was, but I couldn't get it. And so I walked up to the back door, and there's a storm door there, and you can see in through the glass, and I just looked in carefully just to see inside, and I remember this is where I played with my toys, but it didn't look right. It wasn't the same. My memory was different, and that's when the cops arrived, and they said, what are you doing, boy? You know, so I'm just teasing. The house was vacant, but it's funny how that happens, you know? You've got an image in your mind, and all of a sudden it grows faint and unfamiliar because you've walked distant from it from so many years, and you think you remember, but you don't. And before long, spiritually, you think, I remember when I was close with God, and I remember when I was saved and on fire. Man, I remember that time I walked front and recommitted my life to the Lord and opened up my sin to him again and said, oh, God, let me be yours once more. Let me be yours fully. I remember when I prayed to God, God, please use my family. Please take my family. Please expend us for the gospel. Please do with us what you would. Please don't let us grow comfortable. And before long, you find yourself distant and you really like your comfort. Before long, you find yourself distant and you're just back to your old ways. God says, listen, I know you don't recognize it anymore. I know you've been walked from me, and shame on you. You don't even recognize it, but you can come to me and ask. Do you see the graciousness of God in this? Right when God could have said, I'm done with you, people of Israel, people of Poplar Springs, you've walked away from me again and again and again. You don't even recognize my paths. You don't even know the place that I wanted you to be. And instead of judging us, he says, but will you please ask your Father, and I'll show them to you again. Stop and consider the road you're on. Ask the Lord to show you the right way. Thirdly, choose a path. Choose a path. The Bible simply says walk in it. If you look, stop and look, you don't know what the path is, you ask the Lord for the ancient paths, He'll show you, and then do it. Make a choice. Choose a path. You can't have one foot in each path. But this is what they were trying to do. Look at chapter 7 with me once again. Verses 3 and 4. Listen to these words. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend or change your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust these deceptive words. And these were the words not to trust. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. What was happening is the people of God, somehow they had a sense that they were on the wrong path. They would go to the temple, and the priests there would say things like, peace, peace, everything's okay, peace. They would say, this is the temple of the Lord. They would say, well, I must be okay then, since I'm in the temple of the Lord. After all, I know I commit abomination out there in the world, but this is the temple of the Lord. There was a superficiality there where they wanted to have one foot in the realm of God's will, but they wanted the other foot in the world and in their own sin. And the Bible says, don't trust those words. We do the same thing many times. We say, listen, I can't be so bad. I'm in church today after all on this rainy Sunday. Surely the Lord's pleased with me. Don't believe the words of superficial religion. Have your kids ever warmly nuzzled up to you and on a night, just a perfect setting, you know what I mean? You're in the recliner and the Grinch is on TV or something, and here comes your kids in their pajamas, and they just look the cutest thing ever. And they turn to you and say, I love you, Dad. And all you can think about is that you've just been confronted with the breath of death. You know what I mean? A nasty breath, you know? Like, it just spoiled the whole moment, you know? You turn to him, you say, let me ask you a question. Son, have you brushed your teeth? Now, that's a yes or no answer. But what happens is you see the wheels start cranking. You still see them contemplating about what their answer is going to be. Let me just tell you, that's a no. If you see that, that vacant look comes over their face and says, have you brushed your teeth? And this look comes on like, what should I answer? That's a no for sure. Because that's a yes or no question. And this happened to me once or twice. And on one occasion, the response was, well, Dad, I used Listerine. I said, listen, son, that's not the same as brushing your teeth, you know. Well, I said, Dad, it tastes like peppermint. I said, that's not the same as brushing your teeth, you know. You've got to go up there and get in there and brush them. And the image I want to paint here is that there is a difference in true religion, in true wholehearted givenness over to God. Now, we're not going to be perfect in that, but there's a difference in spirit, a difference in attitude when we go to God and we say, Lord, I want to walk in your way, or where we just want to cover it over with a layer of religiousness. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. And our hearts are longing for something real with God. And we're satisfied and we settle many times for just Listerine. God, just make me smell okay. Just make it a little bit better. A crossroads, though, requires a choice. A crossroads requires a choice. And doing nothing is its own choice. The last is this. I want you to stop and consider the road you're on, yes. I want you to ask the Lord, the loving and gracious Lord, to show you the right way, even though we should know it, even though we've wandered from it. Look at His love there. See grace there. I want you to choose a path. Say yes to one or yes to the other. And lastly, discover the thing that satisfies. Discover what satisfies. Look here. The promise is this. If you will walk in it, after God has shown it to you, if you will walk in it, you will find rest for your souls. They were searching for peace in places of false promise. There was no promise in the sin and the wickedness that they were seeking peace in. There's no promise in the affluence or the income that you're seeking peace in today. There's no promise in the success that you may be seeking peace in today. There's no peace in anything that you may be longing for that's going to satisfy you outside of God. It's a false promise. It's an artificial sweetener. It just does not do the trick. And their own priests were telling them that everything's at peace. Everything's fine. But within them, there was an emptiness that said otherwise. That says, no, I'm still longing for something that I was created for that I haven't yet found. My wife, Erica, a few Christmases ago, we were up at my mom's house, and I have a nephew, and I guess Taylor was about, 18 or 19, and Erica had a knife, and you can tell this is going a bad direction, but she had a knife and was opening gifts, and Taylor was sitting right across from her, and Erica had this knife and couldn't get this twist or this zip tie off, and just was pushing at it, and boom, just struck out and opened the present, and Taylor, just as normal as he could, just looked at her and said, Aunt Erica? She said, yeah. He said, you just stabbed me. And she said, no, I didn't, Taylor. Stop being a sissy, you know, and all this. And he said, no, you did. And he showed her there's a rip in his jeans. And sure enough, that knife had just jabbed straight into his leg, you know, on Christmas Day. And my sister, Taylor's mom, came running over and looked at it and pulled the fabric apart some more and said, oh, no, it's okay, Taylor. It's not very big. And over her shoulder, she looked at me and said, you know, it's it's bad, you know. And, yeah, she didn't want to upset Taylor. Now, look here at these priests, at these people. Look here at these people who are coming in to God's house, to their religious authorities. And you get the impression that they're coming there for something, that they need something, that they're undone in some way, or that they have a sense in their heart that something's unfinished and unfulfilled. I don't know what it is. And they come in there, and the priests say, it's all right, it's all right. But all the while, they know it's not all right. Peace, peace, but there is no peace. This is the temple of the Lord. Many times we buy into that. You come to God's house, or you're driving down the street and you see a sunset, or you hear something on the radio and it awakens in you again. And you say, oh, I don't know how, but I'm just unfinished. There's just something that's not full in me. And we hear a voice say, don't worry about it. Peace, peace. And God says, there is no peace. Not apart from Him, there's not. I want you to discover what satisfies. I want you to ask yourself, in what areas of your life have you been lying to yourself about the wounds, about how deep they are, and about what can satisfy them? There's one more promise in this prophet in Jeremiah chapter 31. This same prophet moves ahead in time, and he says this to the people of Israel, these people locked in this this kind of cycle. He says in Jeremiah 31, behold, let's let these words be heard. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. The ancient paths are one thing, but God's going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke. I will put a new law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. Now get this. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's the new covenant that God makes with us this morning. He says to you loudly and clearly, He knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. He says, stop for a minute. Won't you please just stop and look? Son, daughter, stop and look and see. say, God, I don't recognize it anymore. Well, wouldn't you just ask me? Just ask me. I'm here. God, I'm too guilty for that. No, no, no. Just ask me. Okay, God, show me. Now walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. A rest that is based on the truth that God will forgive your iniquity. He'll forgive it. And he goes a step further. He says, I'll remember your sin no more. Let me pray for us. In just a moment, we will have an opportunity to respond. And it's a strange little day, the day between Christmas and New Year's. And maybe you didn't expect the Lord to speak to you this morning, but there's his voice, and he has done it. You came here to be with family. You came here for another reason, and the Holy Spirit won't leave you alone. That's a good thing, my friend. In a moment, we'll have a response time, and I invite you personally to walk forward and do business with the Lord. Maybe you need to be saved for the first time. Maybe you've stood at the roadside and looked and said, listen, I'm not the Lord's at all. I need to come to him once and for all. Make this real. He'll receive you this morning. Maybe you've done that and you say, I would love to follow him in obedience and go to the waters of baptism and know what that feels like to have said yes to God publicly, to him and to the world, that I belong to him, that I am indeed washed in his blood. Maybe you'd like to join the church this morning. You know you need to be a part of a body of believers. You know that's something God's inviting you into. You know you have a place and a contribution to make, but it's not easy to do, but you want to do that this morning. Or maybe you would come to God for any other reason. Hey, it's his voice that counts, not mine, okay? You've got something in your heart, and you say, Matthew didn't really touch on that today in his sermon, but, oh, I feel like I've got to move toward God, then we'll be here waiting for you, and it's okay. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for trusting it to us. Thank you for loving us. We're really astounded by your love, God, oftentimes, because we know our guilt, and we know the blackness of our heart. We know the weight of our sin. We find it incredible and sometimes beyond belief that you would look at us once again and say, just ask me, I'm still your father. We do that this morning. I pray that 2020 will be different than 2019. I pray that this year, 2019, will be different than last year. God, don't leave us where you found us. But Lord, once you show us the way, give us the courage to walk in it. We love you and thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, you can respond.